Since Holmes and Herdlicka, archaeologists and anthropologists have tried to separate themselves from Abbott's modern descendants, the mob of sweaty-palmed archaeology buffs who consume books about Atlantis and run websites about aliens in Peru and medieval Welsh in Iowa. The consensus around Clovis helped beat them back, but the confused back and forth ushered in by the genetic studies has provided a new opening. Unable to repel the quacks with a clear theory of their own, archaeologists and anthropologists found themselves enveloped in a cloud of speculation. The most notorious recent example of this phenomenon is surely Kennewick Man. A 9,400-year-old skeleton that turned up near Kennewick, Washington in 1997, Kennewick Man became a center of controversy when an early reconstruction of the skeleton's face suggested that it had Caucasian features, or more precisely, Caucasoid features. The reconstruction, published in newspapers and magazines around the world, elicited assertions that Indians had European ancestry. Archaeologists scoffed almost to a person at this notion. Indian and European mitochondrial DNA are strikingly different. How could Indians descend from Europeans if they did not inherit their genetic makeup? Yet, as Fidel conceded to me, the collapse of the Clovis consensus means that archaeologists must consider unorthodox possibilities, including that some other people preceded the ancestors of today's Indians into the Americas. Numerous candidates exist for these pre-Paleo Indians, among them the so-called Lagoa Santa people, an ancient group in the Brazilian highlands, whose skulls more resembled the skulls of Australian Aborigines than those of Native Americans. Skull gauging is at best an inexact science, and most archaeologists have dismissed the notion of an Australian role in American prehistory. But in the fall of 2003, an article in the journal Nature about ancient skulls in Baja California revived this possibility. Aborigines, in one scenario, may have traveled from Australia to Tierra del Fuego via Antarctica. Or else there was a single ancestral population split, with the ancestors of Australians heading in one direction and the ancestors of Indians heading in another. In either version of the scenario, the ancestors of today's Indians crossed the Bering Strait to find the Americas already settled by Australians. Migration across Antarctica, exactly the sort of extravagant notion that the white coat sought to consign to the historical dustbin. Now they may all be back. If Clovis was not first, the archaeology of the Americas is wide open, a prospect variously feared and welcomed. Anything goes now, apparently, Fidel told me. The lunatics have taken over the asylum. Despite such misgivings, one can see, squinting a little, the outlines of an emerging theory. In the last few years, researchers have focused more and more on a proposal linked to the name of Knut Fladmark, an archaeologist at Simon Fraser University in British Columbia. As a graduate student in the mid-1970s, Fladmark was so surprised to learn of the paucity of evidence for the ice-free corridor that he wondered if Paleo-Indians had instead gone down the Pacific coast by boat. After all, Aborigines had reached Australia by boat tens of thousands of years ago. Nonetheless, most archaeologists poo-pooed the idea because there was no substantiation for it. By examining pollen in the ocean sediments near the Pacific coastline, researchers have recently learned that even in the depths of the Ice Age, warm southern currents created temperate refuges along the shore, islands of trees and grass in a landscape of ice. Hopping from refuge to refuge, Paleo-Indians could have made their way down the coast at any time in the last 40,000 years. Even primitive boats, Fladmark has written, could traverse the entire Pacific coast of North and South America in less than 10 to 15 years.